بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's life to see how he differentiated and how he stood out in various aspects. And we have been looking at the Fatha Makkah. The single most one of the most important things that characterizes Fatha Makkah is Rasulullah's ability to forgive. Now, if you take that one single thing, it is absolutely incredible how he was able to forgive people who caused him. That's why I keep saying we have to sit and reflect on the incidents of the seerah. People who didn't just cause him loss, as in material loss, people who caused him material loss, people who caused him emotional loss by killing his closest relatives and friends. I mean, just simply, you know, these words are cheap. Killing his relatives sounds like, you know, what's the value? What is the actual feeling when that happens? I don't think any of us has, alhamdulillah, may Allah keep us protected. I don't think any of us has faced this thing of someone actually killing one of us. But forget the killing part of it, but somebody who dies, some close relative of yours, who's very close to you, you know, whatever that relationship is, you know, husband, wife, child, whatnot, some relative who's close to you, the person dies, natural causes. How much of pain that causes you? You will never forget that. Anytime you think of that, you have tears in your eyes. Even if it's a close relative, imagine if that person is killed, what will you feel about the one who killed that person? With Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these things happen to him. For example, take Al-Wahshi radiallahu anhu, who killed Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu was not just a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not just a supporter of the Nabi alayhi salam. He was the same age as him. He was a milk brother to him. He was his uncle. You know, they were the same age, but they were uncle. He was his uncle because he was the son of Abdul Muttalib. And they literally grew up together as little kids. They played together. They grew up together. And then Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib became Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's biggest supporter and a huge source of strength for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was killed in the Battle of Uhud by Wahshi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave Wahshi. Now, there is a beautiful long story. We don't have time for all that in the Fajr Reminders. So I'm not saying that. I have mentioned this story many times in different bayan, in different lectures and so on. But the point is, long and short of it is, here was this man who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had actually, there were seven people after Fatha Makkah, there were seven people against whom Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed sentence that they should be killed because of what they had done. And Wahshi was one of them. But when Wahshi came before him, he forgave him. Similarly, take Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Now, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was the man responsible for the deaths of not one sahabi but 70 sahaba, including Musab bin Umair, one of the dearest of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions, who he sent to Medina. Musab ibn Umair was 15 or 16 years old when he was sent to Medina as the ambassador of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, it shows also how the youth were encouraged by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't send some 40, 50 year old man. And not that he didn't have those people. Sayyidina Uthman was there, Sayyidina Umar was there, Abu Bakr Siddiq was there, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He didn't send any of them. He sent Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu to Medina to pave the way for his own hijrat. to present Islam to the people of Medina, he sends today what we would call a kid. In our society here, a 25-year-old is also called a kid. In those times, the 15-year-olds led armies. So Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu was sent at this. Now Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu was killed in Uhud. Now how much of pain that would have caused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Think about that. Abdullah ibn Jahash, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cousin, Zainab bint Jahash's brother. So our mother, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her brother. So he was his cousin, he was his brother-in-law. He was killed in the Battle of Uhud, and so many other Sahaba. And who was the root cause for this? Khalid bin Walid. Because at that time, Khalid bin Walid was the commander of the cavalry of the Quraysh, and he attacked, and as a result, this happened. Now, this Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to perform the Umrah after the year after Sulh Hudaybiyah, because that was the agreement that you can't perform Umrah this year, you can come back next year and we will vacate Makkah for that period of the few days, and then you can make Umrah and you must immediately leave. Yeah, this was the condition set by another one who I also want to mention, Suhail ibn Amr, who was the spokesperson of Quraysh. So Suhail ibn Amr made these conditions and so on, and then we know Abu Jandal, Suhail bin Amr's son, what happened with him when he came to Hudaybiyah, unknowingly he got caught in all that. So anyway, now when Rabbi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there, Khalid bin Walid's brother was already a Muslim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent word to Khalid bin Walid radhiyallahu anhu, and he sent him an ayat of, he mentioned this ayat of Suratul Hadid, the meaning of which is, how much longer is it going to take for you for the truth of Islam to enter your heart? So the brother of Khalid bin Walid went to his house. Now Khalid bin Walid had left Makkah because of, he was part of the Quraysh. So he left, when everybody had left, he also left. So his brother left a note for him there, and he said that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking about you. So why don't you come and meet him? Now who is he asking about? He's asking about the man who is responsible for all of these deaths. So then, to make a long story short, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and Amr ibn al-As, his good friend, both were the, it was like almost saying the princes of Quraysh, because they were from the aristocracy of Quraysh, the youth of Quraysh. Both of them great warriors. Khalid bin Walid was known for never have lost a battle and so on. When they went to Medina and Rasulullah was informed that they are coming, he decreed, he made an announcement to say that nobody must reprimand Khalid bin Walid, nobody must say anything to him, nobody must remind him of what happened in Uhud. Nobody must, show any hostility to Khalid bin Walid. Because there were 70 people who died, and those 70 people's families were living in Medina. Here was the man who was responsible for their deaths. Then when Khalid bin Walid comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting in the masjid, Khalid bin Walid comes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up to welcome Khalid bin Walid. Khalid bin Walid is a, in our language, is Samne ka bacha. He was a kid before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was double his age. He was the Nabi. Who was Khalid bin Walid? There was nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands up to welcome him. He takes his hand, he brings him, he puts his own shawl on the ground, and he makes Khalid bin Walid sit on that. And then when Khalid bin Walid accepts Islam and he becomes Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives him the command of the army. He said, you are the commander of the army, and he gives him the title of Saifullah. Third person I want to talk about is Sohail Binawar. Sohail Binawar is the man who was responsible for Sulh Hudaybiyah. He was the man responsible for insisting on the terms and conditions which were so humiliating for the Muslims. He was the man responsible when his son Abu Jindal came there. He said, no, this man has to come back with us because you have written the, you have already agreed. The treaty had not been written. He said, that has nothing to do with it. You have agreed, so I take him back. That incident was a cause of so much of turmoil in the hearts of the Sahaba. How are we giving up a Muslim? How are we giving up our own brother to the kuffar? So these three people, I mean, there are many more, but Abu Sufyan is a classic one, but radiallahu anhu, but I'm just, let me say this. Now, these three people, Wahshi, Khalid ibn Walid, and Suhail ibn Amr. What was the result of this forgiveness? Wahshi is the man who killed Musaylimah bin Kazzab, Musaylimah al-Kazzab. The man who raised a very dangerous revolt against Rasulullah in the period of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the final battle was fought, Wahshi is the man who killed Musaylimah al-Kazzab. And Wahshi radiallahu anhu said that with this spear of mine, I killed the best of people and I killed the worst of people. And he said, I hope Allah will forgive me for what happened to Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib because of what I was able to do today. Khalid bin Walid, he was forgiven, and we know Khalid bin Walid. I mean, Khalid bin Walid was responsible for all the futuhat until the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. During the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab took away the post of commander-in-chief from him. Abu Bakr Siddiq refused to do that, radiallahu anhu. He said, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called him Saifullah. The sword that Rasulullah ﷺ drew from the scabbard, he said, I will not put it back. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had his own reasons. He dismissed him from command. But Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, who was given command, took Khalid bin Walid as his advisor. But of course, there's a difference between advisor and commander and so on and so forth. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was responsible for all the futuhat, including the final demise of the Byzantine Roman Empire. In the famous Battle of Yarmouk, Khalid bin Walid, and this Battle of Yarmouk happened after the order of dismissal of Khalid bin Walid had been issued. Just before the battle, a messenger came looking for Khalid bin Walid, and Khalid bin Walid was the commander. The messenger came and he brought a letter, and the letter was from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, saying that I am now the Amir. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has passed away. So that is one news information for you. And I am the Amir, so I am ordering you to hand over command of the army to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Now see the maturity and the wisdom of Khalid bin Walid. First thing Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu did was he took that messenger and took him into his tent and told him, you stay here, you will not move from here and you will not speak to anybody. And he told his wife to be the guard for the man. So the man sat in the tent, he didn't go anywhere. Because if that news had leaked out at that point in time, believe me, that Yarmouk battle would have been a different battle, because the army would have completely lost its morale to see that their commander, who they loved and who they respected and who they followed, has been dismissed, and that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has passed away. This would have caused any amount of disruption in the army. Khalid bin Walid didn't want this, radiallahu anhu. Right? Battle of Yarmouk happened. Khalid bin Walid won a victory which we talk about till today. What could and should have Khalid bin Walid done at that time? He could have told Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, Salaam alaikum, I refuse to accept your order. And the army had just won a victory. How much time do you think it would have taken Khalid bin Walid to turn around and march the same army on to Medina? If he had wanted to do that, he could have done it. What did he do? He went to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah and handed over command. He said, this is yours, here's the letter. Abu Ubaidah was shocked. He said, wallahi, this letter came before. He said, yes. He said, why didn't you show me? He said, if I had shown you, what would have happened? He said, oh, alhamdulillah, good thing you did not show me. But see the integrity of the man. At that time, he is giving up command of the army, and Sayyidina Umar broke him from commander-in-chief to soldier. That is where Abu Ubaidah said, no, this, what the Amir al-Mu'mineen has done, that is his decision. My decision now as the commander is that you are not a soldier, you are my advisor. I need your advice, so I want you next to me. Right? He didn't say, okay, now be a soldier, go die. No, you be here. Many years later, in the Khilafat of Uthman ibn Affan, Khalid ibn Walid is dying. He is on his deathbed. A close friend of him, came to see him, and he found Khalid ibn Walid was crying. So his friend said to him, what is this, Khalid? I mean, at this time of your life, you are afraid of death. Why are you crying? Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu said, me and being afraid of death. He said, I have actively courted death in every single battle that I fought. He said, there is not an inch of my body from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet that does not have a wound of a sword or a spear or an arrow. He said, my whole body is covered with the wounds that I took in battle after battle after battle. He said, I am crying because I did not get Shahada, which I actively sought throughout my life. I wanted to be killed in battle. I was not able to be killed in battle. Today I am dying like a camel in its stable. So his friend said to him, that's why we must have good friends. His friend said to him, Ya Khalid, he said, don't fear. La tahzan. He said, don't be sad. He said, Allah will reward you for what you have done. He said, you could not have been killed in battle because Rasulullah sallam, he said, the day Rasulullah sallam named you and gave you this title of Saifullah, your fate was sealed. There is no way that the sword of Allah could have fallen in battle. He said, you could not have been killed. There is no way. And he said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is responsible for this. So, alhamdulillah. This is Khalid Walid. And Suhail bin Amr, in the time of the Ridda, the time of Abu Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the tribes were rebelling, rebellion started in Makkah. The governor of Makkah went and hid somewhere. He couldn't face the rebellion. Who stood up against the rebellion? The same Suhail bin Amr. Suhail bin Amr was a big leader of the Quraysh, and he was known as an orator. That same Suhail bin Amr, who was responsible for this Sulh Hudaybiyah, when he came and accepted Islam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted him, he forgave him. That man he stood like a pillar, and he wasn't even the governor, nothing. Just on the basis of his own personal authority, he stood there like a pillar for Islam and against the Ridda. And he kept Makkah intact. Imagine what would happen if Abu Bakr Siddiq, in Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhalanu's reign, if Makkah had rebelled and gone, that is where the Haram is, that is where the Kaaba is. Imagine what would have happened. And who kept Makkah intact? Suhail bin Amr. This is the benefit of forgiveness. Yes, it is tough. But without forgiveness, much bigger goals and aims than your own personal satisfaction, they will get sacrificed. Yes, there is satisfaction in taking revenge. Yes, there is satisfaction in, you know, feeling bad about something. I mean, people feel bad for years and years and years. Why? Because they enjoy it. But it's a very short-sighted thing. With forgiveness, there is much more enjoyment. Because first of all, you get rid of all the negativity in your heart. It's gone. You throw away the garbage. Clean your heart. And then the good that it does, that far outweighs whatever satisfaction you may have got from revenge. And the life of Prophet ﷺ is proof of this, inshallah. So the question that I want to ask myself and you is, if there is anyone in your life who you need to forgive, are you willing to forgive them now? Because if that is not the case, then there is no point in all this talk. So the question to ask is, who am I willing to forgive now? And alhamdulillah, if you are like me and alhamdulillah nobody has wronged me, that's good fortune. Alhamdulillah, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. But there will be people who, you know, who have somebody has wronged them or they feel some grudge against somebody or there is some operation. Are you willing to forgive that person? That is very, very important. The reality of our problems is that a lot of those problems are really imaginary. I mean, nobody actually did anything to you. You imagine that somebody did. But I'm saying whatever it is, whether it's imaginary, whether it's real, you might say, no, I have got a real thing. Okay, fine. So forgive. What was more real than what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had? He forgave them. His grudges or his, whatever harm had happened to him was not imaginary. That was real. But he forgave. And that's the example of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is before us. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to help us to learn from the seerah and to practice it in our lives and to fill our lives with the barakah of that. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ